Hello, team. We hope you've been enjoying our first Young Justice actual play using Masks, A New Generation. If you'd like to check out the game for yourself, Magpie Games has generously given us two ways to help you do that. First, you can link over to www.magpiegames.com and use the discount code WHELMED, WHELMED, all caps, to get 30% off either the softcover or hardcover copy of the game. The discount is good through September 30th, 2017. Second, you can link over to www.patreon.com/crashingthemode and back our show at the Beta Squad level. Beta Squad and higher level backers receive a PDF copy of Masks, A New Generation for free. Lastly, please consider linking over to the Ennie Awards. That's www.ennie-awards.com and supporting Masks with a vote for Best Family Game in one of the role-playing game industry's most sought awards. Voting starts on July 11th. With all that out of the way, let's get on with the show.
Recognized, Umbral Walker, D-0-1, Emily of Arden, D-1-2, Joe Moniak, D-0-5, Darcy Elros, D-0-3, Evil Sans Carne, D-0-4, Magpie Games, D-1-7. Previously on Masks Actual Play, Story Arc Title, Relations.
And you smash him into the ground. He hurtles through the water, smashes into the ocean floor. And I'm assuming like this is by Wally and Robin, as he suddenly flumes in and rock and bits of sand go up everywhere around him.
Not so close that they might be in danger, but close enough so they notice that the job is getting done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see him rip his arms and the magical bonds just pop off. His armor is looking cracked. And pieces of it have fallen off his body. And so beneath it, you see this slightly scaly, but generally human-looking skin.
Over the telepathic bond, just the rest of you here, Connor going, what is this guy?
And when you pull off his helmet, I actually think you're like, cool, Suvit. And you stop mid-sentence when you see the face looking at you from beneath the helmet, because it looks very familiar. Probably especially familiar to the person pinning him to the ground. It is the face of Connor, staring back up at you.
What?
A strange mix that you detect three strains in. Three. You detect Kryptonian, you detect Atlantean, and you detect a third strain, which is weird and shifting and hard to pin down, hard to pinpoint, until you suddenly realize that that itself is exactly what's pinpointing it. It's a subtle, essentially used as, I'm doing stupid comic book science, so forgive me, used as like
science.
A bonding agent. The way that in Jurassic Park they took frogs to make the dinosaurs work, they took this DNA to make Atlantean and Kryptonian bond, and it's Martian.
Initiate episode 4.
Of course. That's great.
Well, you just got a positive support from the DNA genetic specialist in our players, so...
Yes!
This is how it works. I'm a scientist. Trust me.
Yes!
All right. So then, I mean, since perfect. I get to come up with one-liners because I'm Wally, I'm going to, once I figure it out, and after saying science... Man, I'm going to get in so much trouble with the other characters. It's fine. Oh, well. I'm going to say worst love triangle ever.
Oh, boy. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Neil knows, but Wally doesn't know. Poor Wally.
Aww.
When this comes up, like, it's on your clamshell terminal. That no one else is paying attention to, especially necessarily, but you scream science as soon as you figure it out and then make the joke.
That's great.
Who comes over and looks, like, who's looking at it? Who's checking out the terminal?
Calder is really uncomfortable with the whole situation of his mentor being here and not feeling like he's coming home very successfully, so he runs over.
distract himself. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Dick standing right there.
McGann goes over too.
Yeah.
The whole team is like, something else that we can pay attention to? Yes.
That is undoubtedly why I feel so guilty.
Yeah.
Because it's just like.
Once I realize what you said, Calder goes like, kind of blushes. Gets very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's great.
McGann is very much caught off guard.
This thing is like the whole team's love child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm assuming all of you, for the sake of making it make sense, all of you can understand what's on the screen. All of you immediately grok that there's the thing you fought is a combination Atlantean, Martian, Kryptonian.
Yeah.
No wonder.
A noteworthy thing, and for McGann, for the sake of making this an interesting part, there's some marker to it that maybe most people can't really pick out or don't really know about that you would be able to pick out. It is not merely Martian, it is white Martian DNA.
Yes. Perfect. For the record, Calder looked at Superboy when he was blushing, just in case you were wondering who the potential blush was directed at for all you shippers out there. Okay? Now we can move on.
Crucial. Crucial.
Have to.
That's amazing.
If we don't get your super lad ships, we're going to be disappointed.
Hashtag fan service. All
right. That's what you bring me on for.
That's right.
Connor raises one eyebrow. That's it.
The others in the room pay attention now that all five of the team is around there and probably myriad forms of aghast, and they too clamor around it. And upon seeing what the screen is portraying, they're similarly confused, thrown.
So Robin points at the screen and he's like, is that? And he turns over, turns to McGann. Is that white? And then he stops talking and looks at McGann.
I'm kind of speechless and I just kind of nod. I'm not sure how this happened or why this happened, but I just kind of nod like, yeah, don't know why, but yeah.
So at this point, Connor walks over and like physically takes McGann's hand and then just in her head, he's like, I know how you feel.
Robin is going to step away and actually, there's no communication between Atlantis and the surface right now, right?
Yep.
He's going to see if he can find out if Garfield is okay. He's just going to look to see if there's like a tracker, like if he's at home or somewhere else without saying anything to anybody else.
Worth calling out as well, just so you're aware. You, Robin, with hacking is one of your powers. If you told me that you tapped buttons on your wrist computer and made the comms go work again, that you could unleash your powers to do that. Like, that's perfectly well within the purview if you wanted.
I'm going to unleash my fingers. Oh, and I rolled a 10. What would I be rolling?
Bam.
Wow.
Freak.
10 freak?
Yes.
0. So I rolled a 10, just straight up.
Perfect. And so for you, Robin, as you sort of step to the side and intending to check on Garfield, and you basically come up against the place is being jammed. It's actively being jammed by some other source, and you basically have to run counter hacks and lots of finger tapping and lots of bars filling and screens going and matrix numbers.
Access. And little Robin faces popping up on screen.
And yes, exactly. But ultimately, you crack through the jamming. You create a line to the external communication network. And I mean, a short check later, Garfield seems fine, according to whatever tracking. Whatever you have on him, he seems fine. Nothing seems to have gone on yet there. Okay. I'm assuming at this point he's still living with his mom.
Yes. I don't think she died yet.
And the only other thing worth calling out, I think, and as part of your hack, you pick up that the source of the jamming seems to be coming from orbit.
Oh, okay. Well, I share that with King Orin as well. And everyone, obviously.
The second you say Garfield's okay, McGann just has like a sigh of relief of just like, okay, at least my brother's okay.
Yeah, and I say it directly to you, actually. Other people probably over here, but like you probably weren't realizing that's what I was looking at, and I did all the stuff, and then I look directly at you and say, Garfield's okay, even though everybody else in the room probably wasn't even going there.
That's perfect. And when you say that the source is coming from orbit, King Orin says, we can't afford to mount a large attack if Poseidonis and Atlantis are still under threat of more assaults via Zeta Tube.
Oops. Actually, sorry, I have a little bit of an aside, if you don't mind. Marie Logan is dead.
Wow.
So she died in 2011. So I'm going to actually throw in that my fan canon, headcanon theory, which is that Garfield gets adopted by Rita Farr, who is the character in the comics he gets adopted by. And she's also one of the actresses from the TV show, Hello Megan, that's shown in one of the credits. And she becomes Elastigirl from the Doom Patrol.
Right.
Because I really want the Doom Patrol to show up in Young Justice.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So, I mean, and it's essentially you check in and he's still fine with Rita. He's still in exactly where he should be living that life.
And he's with the Doom Patrol, so they can protect him. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so it's fine. Yeah. So Orin says, we can set up a tracking charm that should be able to return a Zeta Tube to the original source. Will you, and he's speaking now to Calder, will you take your team up and put an end to this? We can't go in case they attack again.
My king, this will be done, and I'll see you on the other side of this engagement.
So he steps forward and he does
trust me.
Atlantean, I imagine it's...
bro hug?
Sure, the Atlantean bro hug. Yeah. Yeah, he does the Atlantean bro hug. And he says, you honor Atlantis with your service.
Calderon just looks heavier, with that. He tries to keep a good face on, but...
So actually, it is Aquaman saying this to you, Aqualad. I feel like it's going to bear some weight.
Yeah, in what way?
He's going to be shifting up your savior and down your mundane. Unless
that
you
makes
reject
sense to me.
Do it.
If you accept it, that shift just happens. Savior goes up, mundane goes down. If you reject it, then we go to a move to see what happens.
Oh boy. What's Savior govern a lot?
Savior is used for defending. Savior is used for when I'm like, I want to get in the way of that hitting someone else. I want to get in the way of that breaking this other person.
Yeah. Calder's gonna continue to lose a piece of himself to the mantle he must wear, of course.
Perfect.
You'll all see the downside of that later on.
Excellent. All right, so Savior up, mundane down, and unless anybody has anything else, especially because I am a little conscious of time and we can try to get into like a cool maybe finale quickly, we can cut to they've set up the tracking charm to lead back. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, perfect.
So they've set up the tracking charm back out in the crevasse to basically recreate the Zeta Tube that'll lead back up wherever it came from. And all the Atlanteans are standing there ready, and on your order, they cast it, and the Zeta Tube opens up, and it lies open for you. Zatanna is going to stay back and help them reinforce the magical wards here in Atlantis to help try to prevent them from coming down anywhere else. But
Robin tosses a little, mini bird probe through it real quick just to see what's on directly on the other side of the portal. It's like something we normally do. If we need to do something like that,
nice.
He'll do that just to see what's immediately on the other side.
A cold metal corridor with cylindrical tubes lining it.
Nobody moving around or anything obvious.
Nope.
Okay. I'll put up a hologram like it's a picture so everybody can see, like a mid-air hologram so that everybody can see what there is. And I'll actually turn to Calder and I'll say, are you okay for this? Because I can do it if you're not.
Interesting. Are you trying to do something to me?
It's meant to be consoling for you. I don't think I phrased it very well, but I'm trying to comfort you because you've been off the whole time, and I'm offering you an out if you want, but you don't have to take it.
I would be interested to see how well you're able to do that to me.
Okay,
Sure. Is this a moment where we let the dice choose, or?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, if you're trying to comfort or support, and there's a moment of tension. And, there's always a little bit of hesitation here, right? Like, there have been times when I've hesitated around McGann and Connor specifically, because you've had awesome moments where I'm like, that could be a comfort or support. But also, it feels like it's nice that it lies there and there's not the pressure upon it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like here's a moment where there is pressure, because this is an actual,
Also, you have some conditions, right? Like, I'd like to help you
get
rid... Yeah, I want to help you get some conditions back, and Robin's starting
Thank
to figure out his own head, so...
All right, go ahead and plus mundane.
Nice. I rolled a 9. My mundane's now +1 because I upped it earlier, so that's a 10.
Wow.
what do you do in response, Calder? You get this stuff if you open up to Robin, and Robin gets to say what that is.
Super interesting. Okay, so what did you ask me? You kind of asked, like, are you good? Are you...
I'm basically, yeah, basically in, you know, the simple language we've been using since everybody's been very tense. Like, I'm just going to be saying, like, do you got this or can I be of service to you, basically? And he's saying it in like, I'm not taking the leadership from you. I'm not forcing anything. I want you to do what you think is right. And I'm here for you. And one of those options is potentially me leading, which has happened from time to time. So I know you're frustrated and I want you to be okay.
If my team has my back, we can do this. And he sort of, you know, I feel like he just shares kind of a long, long nod with you, sort of a, let's come together over this. I'm going to stop being pissy with you if you have my back.
And I'm going to let it go and say, I always have your back.
Oh, yay.
So yeah, I think we're good. So you remove a condition, awesome. Is that right?
So Calder, you get to pick. Yeah. Do you want to mark potential, clear condition, or shift your own labels? As in, you can put anyone up and anyone down. You get one of those three.
I think I'm not afraid anymore.
Perfect.
Nice.
Maybe I should be, but I'm not.
And you, Robin, you get to pick to either add a team to the pool or clear a condition yourself.
I don't have any conditions, but it wouldn't matter. I would have added a team to the pool.
Perfect.
Nice.
Two team in the pool right now. And then I imagine, Calder, you're the first through then?
Yeah.
Okay. And the rest of the team filters through after?
Yep.
Yeah.
I stop at Zatanna real quick because I still only have trunks on, I realize.
I feel like you step up and you just sort of look down at yourself and she's like, no, I gotcha.
And then it's Evig may snap. And like she did for John Smith and give him some pants.
Oh my gosh.
That's so good. And you have pants.
Now I just have like this weird seaweed suit on, but like I just accept it. It's better than my trunks.
It looks fetching on you.
It's so we can release new action figures. Perfect. Right. Pant Wally. All right.
I appreciate that this has apparently been enough of a problem that she just has that spell memorized. Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just right, yeah.
On the fly.
That's right.
You pass through the Zeta tube, and it closes behind you, which is probably something like, there. You may have some signal set up, but they wanted to close it just in case they don't want anything to come through. And on the other side, it's that cold metallic corridor that you saw through the hologram after Robin threw his thing through. With those metal pods, those metal cylinders, wires and cords snaking out from the top and the bottom into the walls and floors around them. And McGann, no sooner do you step through the Zeta tube than that current I talked about before, right? That like undercurrent immediately is back and stronger. This psychic white noise. And inside of it, sort of echoing in and around and through it, is a sensation of fear and pain.
I, through our mental link, through like the team's mental link, I say something's afraid, something's in pain. I don't know what, but there's something.
Mm.
Perhaps we should be cautious with striking first then. Let's try to understand our situation.
I turn to Calder with the look of like, do you want me to scout ahead? Like this thing that we, you know, we've been working together forever. Like, do you want me to ninja up and take a look and come back? Or do you want Wally to go run up? Like, who do you want to do the thing? The thing that we always do.
How about you ninja up and Wally's ready to back you up if need be?
Sweet. I always love Wally backing me up. And Neil, too, for that matter.
I like not trying to swim.
But those pants.
So I'm sort of imagining then that like Robin is pushing forward stealthy with Kid Flash in closer proximity as McGann, Connor and Calder are bringing up the rear and moving forward the slowest out of everyone. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I kind of want to ninja away, like go take a look around for a bit and then like appear back behind somebody.
Great. Oh, okay. So do you just want to assess the situation? Because this also somewhat fits your mood.
Yeah, right? That's perfect. Yeah, I'll do that. Be mindful of your surroundings. Assess the situation.
You got it.
Okay. So it's just a basic, it's just a normal assess the situation, which is... Roll plus superior? Excellent. Yeah. I got that going on for sure. This freaking program is amazing. So I rolled a 9 plus 2 for my superior's 11.
Damn.
Which means that normally on a 10 or plus, I get 10 plus, I get to ask two of these questions, but my assess the situation or be mindful of your surroundings allows me to ask an additional question even on a miss, which is nice.
Wow, yeah. That's good.
So you get three questions. What would you like to ask?
Okay, so definitely what here is the biggest threat?
Excellent. I mean, I can answer them one at a time and you can decide if you want to change your question based on what I say.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so what here is the biggest threat?
So moving down the rest of this corridor, there's nothing in this specific corridor that's coming out at you. These are just a whole bunch of pods, and even checking them out cursorily, it seems like they're empty. Presumably, the Aquamatch that you fought and Brethren came out of these pods. Mm-hmm. So this like hall is empty. As you move towards the end of the hall, and it's like this is the branch, like this is a spoke of a wheel or something, and you're moving towards the center of the wheel. And as you get to the end of the hall, into the main large chamber, you see a sort of central area, which appears to be strewn over with all kinds of laboratory equipment and computers and myriad devices and science business, surrounding a large cylindrical glass holding chamber, clearly some sort of cell or holding chamber, with all kinds of wires and equipment snaking into the top and out of the bottom. The glass is a little frosted, so it's hard to see what's inside, but there's
of course it is.
Oh yeah.
And
okay,
the biggest threat was your question. Moving around amid the equipment, you see sort of a squat looking canister with a glass dome on top, with the brain floating in the canister, and a giant gorilla wearing a beret and a bandolier.
Yeah, because that was the first thing I was going to do, is I'm going to look around to see if Mala is around in the ceiling somewhere. Okay, good. They're both there.
They're both there.
Fantastic.
The biggest threat is Mala right now, but as you listen to them talk, like, oh, the test went well, my brethren. Yes, but we can launch more. And they make clear that there are more Aquamatches in the station.
Oh.
So right now, the biggest threat is Mala, but also there's more.
All right, so one of the questions is definitely, how could we best end this quickly? But then I also was going to ask who here is the most vulnerable to me, but it's probably the brain. So, I don't know.
If you ask the question, one of the advantages is you still get a plus one while acting on the answers.
Ooh.
So asking a question with an obvious answer is still helpful.
Okay, so I'm going to have a plus one if I'm dealing with Mala, because he was the biggest threat in the room.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and then who is the most vulnerable to me is the brain, so I get a plus one on either one of those. And then how could we best end this quickly? That's my last question.
So, taking into account all of their equipment and how it seems to be hooked up, one thing that you're picking up on is they clearly have a set of computers wired into the whole station to control when they release these pods, and that are maintaining the pods and keeping them on life support and so on and so forth. Messing with that equipment would shut down all of the pods and screw with this entire endeavor. Also, they appear to have some form of communications system running through that central containment, big old glass cylinder.
Okay.
And screwing with that presumably would break their control of the Aquamatches. So the best way to resolve the situation where that means, like, end this threat, that's how I'm interpreting that, is that correct?
Yeah, that's it. There? Yeah, for sure.
Okay. The best way to end it quickly would be to screw with the equipment that's either maintaining the pods or allowing them to control the Aquamatches down on Earth alone.
Okay. So I'll appear behind everyone, because Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what I found. It's Brain and Mala, and there's more matches here. And when he says that, he looks at Connor and with sympathy, and he said, I think... Well, I can definitely shut down their launch procedure for the matches, but the matches are being controlled, I think, because of something in this. They've got a pod, and it's big. A cylinder. And I don't know what's in it.
So Connor, like, thinks for a second. He's like, do you have any idea if they lose control, do they go berserk, or do they shut off?
I don't know. But I know I don't want them to launch out of here. So, and I turn to Calder after I say what I say, because you're the leader.
I'll probably ask Robin, do we suspect someone is being held who is contributing the material to produce these?
I don't know. There's all I know is Mala, as the brain said, there was more aqua matches and they could launch more, and was talking about the, he was happened to be in front of the launch mechanism, which I think I can jam. But it's pretty clear that whatever's mentally controlling these things, because McGann, you said you felt some kind of psychic force at play, right?
Yeah, there's definitely something. I can't quite pin down exactly what it is, but there's some sort of psychic field going on here.
Yeah, something's in that canister that's helping them psychically control these matches, but I don't know what it is.
Connor will just chime in that Cadmus didn't need Superman or, you know, me in order to make match or whatever else they were doing.
They had match, which was, so he was supposed to be a pure Kryptonian duplicate, right? With some issues. So they had that, maybe.
A few.
But where did they get white Martian DNA? And, I mean, Atlantean DNA, I guess. They can get that anywhere. Atlantean DNA, it's everywhere.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about their control over these beings. My worry is that there's a sense of fear that there may be free will we'd be interfering with. They may be salvageable, but the mechanism by which they're being controlled, I think, is my priority to stop.
Well, McGann, instead of blocking the control or trying to break the machine to stop the control, McGann, can you hijack the control?
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
Oh my gosh, we're going to get her going even more dark side, potentially, depending on how she does this.
Basically, Robin's like, in his head, he's like, can you hack? Can you hack in and take control of what's going on? Right, that's the way his brain's working.
But these are organisms, not programs. But yes.
I could try. I'm not sure. It could hurt them. It could hurt anyone attached to it. I'm not sure if that's the best way we should go about this, but if we have to, I can try.
Okay, so I don't know if Wally would actually suggest this, so I will suggest it as a player, not as my character, and we'll see how we go about it. But essentially, why wouldn't you use Calder and Connor to help you make that connection? Because now you're playing into all three aspects of it, as well as Connor knowing what it was like to be in that scenario.
I think you say that as Wally, and we all turn to you with our jaws open.
Yes.
About how good an idea that was.
Perfect. So. Oh, and you know you all three have to hold hands for that.
Oh, of course that's happening. For sure.
Who's in the middle, though? Or is it all, it's all three?
All three.
It's
all three.
It's in the circle. Yeah, it's the little circle. You all get to hold hands.
McGann's a shapeshifter. She can be in the middle and outside all at the same time.
Oh, McGann. Darcy loves McGann, but Calder has eyes only for Superboy.
I mean, I'm always going to look this good.
It's true. Just remember, this is a rated family-friendly show. I'm just reminding people.
So I'm assuming also between this, like, you're keeping an eye on the area to make sure in case anything happens or moves. You hear coming down the corridor from that main area, where are the brain and Mala? You hear that French accent, where I'm hesitant to keep going with it because my French accent turns into Russian. But you hear the one of them say, wait a moment, I think I detected a zeta tube opening up here.
Okay, I look at Calder.
We gonna do this?
Let's do it.
All right.
So Kid Flash distracts people, distracts Mala. I hack the thing, and you guys do whatever you're doing in private.
Hold hands and try to overpower it?
We all tenderly hold hands.
Okay. So we will quickly run through this, because you are still entering battle against a dangerous foe as a team. So we will add two team to the pool. Bam! You're up to four. Who is the leader right now?
Calderam.
Oof.
I don't. It might be Robin. I think you're giving Calder... I think Calder's subbing out. I think he was always, it was sort of in between. And I think if Calder's going to help with this side project, I think you're kind of directing us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Robin?
Okay. Yeah, I'm in. If you got the rest of you guys are in, I'm in.
Is that cool? Everybody good with that? Agree. Okay. Robin's the leader. Robin, first of all, you have your move. So that gives you +1 forward, which is a +1 on your very next roll. And it adds one additional team to the pool.
Yep.
So up to 5. Robin, do you have influence over every other teammate?
No. I have influence over Calder, Superboy, and KF. That's all I have right now.
Okay. Robin, what is your purpose in the fight?
My personal purpose or for the team? Like, how does that work? Because my personal purpose is to shut down this launch procedure.
The way I usually phrase it is like, what is your purpose in the sense of what is a win for the fight? What does that look like from Robin's perspective? The difference between we bring the brain and Mala to justice and we stop the Aquamatches from being a threat and we save the Aquamatches, like that kind of thing. I'm looking for what your win condition is. So what is your purpose? What's your win?
My win condition is to stop these Aquamatches from being a threat to anyone else.
Great. All right, stop the Aquamatches from being a threat to anyone else. That's perfect. Is that your purpose, Calder?
Yes.
Great. Is that your purpose, McGann?
Yes, but cool. She also has the... Personally, just wants to make sure she doesn't lose control. Don't know if that changes totally. Anything, but that's also on her mind.
I think it plays in, but it's still, like, the point is you're not doing something different from what Robin is doing. Where Robin's like, I want to stop the Aquamatches from being a threat, and you're like, I want to end the brain. No, that's yeah. not what's going on. Connor.
Yeah, he's on board. Sometimes all you can do with a half-Kryptonian clone is stop it.
Excellent. Wally?
Yep.
All right. So everybody has the same purpose. That is six team in the pool. Does any team member mistrust the leader or the team? Calder, do you mistrust the leader of the team?
Nope.
McGann, do you mistrust the leader of the team?
Nope.
Connor?
Right now? No.
Wally?
No, of course not.
Aw, Wally.
Robin?
No, I'm fully on board.
Perfect. And your team is not ill-prepared or off-balance. I think you're ready. You know what you're doing. So, you have six team in the pool right now.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Good. And let's do this. So, like, Mala is moving towards this branch of the station as, according to what you were saying, I'm hearing that Kid Flash is moving towards Mala, has not yet been spotted, but is moving towards Mala to distract. Robin, you are going to slip around the side to get to the computers, it sounds like.
I actually have a plan, if I can... Is that okay? If I
sure,
vocalize
absolutely.
It?
Yeah.
I'm going to be riding on the back of Kid Flash. Kid Flash is going to run down the hallway at Mala. I'm going to jump off of Kid Flash and implant a couple of smoke bombs, gas bombs on Mala, and then leap off of Mala toward the device to hack while Wally's, you know, got Mala off balance and doing whatever he's doing, and then trying to keep him out of the hallway while everybody else is doing their thing. That's my thought process.
That's brilliant. Yep, I think that works perfectly.
Great.
So, I mean, so the two of you are getting ready for this maneuver then, assuming that's cool with Wally,
yep.
where you are on Wally's back.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And meanwhile, Connor, McGann, and Calder have sort of... I'm assuming you wouldn't just be sitting out in the open. You probably would have moved off to the side.
Found cover, at least.
Yeah, you found cover.
Still in the hallway.
But
or
you're all
wherever's
holding
most
hands.
Psychically resonant.
That's true. I mean, that's a fair question, McGann. Like... Are you going to do this out here in the hallway, or are you going to try to get closer to the tube?
I feel like she tried to stay in the hallway. She tried to see if she could do this from a distance because she doesn't want to put any of her friends in danger.
Perfect. All right. So then, it seems like the two main thrusts here are McGann connecting with whatever this other psychic thing is, and Wally and Robin rushing into battle. So, I want to quickly cut to Wally and Robin, handle that, and then I'm going to go to McGann connecting psychically. So, Mala is coming towards this branch of the station, and Wally, with Robin on your back, what do you do?
So, hoping that there's enough room to just kind of run past on one side, but if they're not, kind of do that run fast enough to get up a wall a little bit, and
nice.
Then just go right past him and let Robin jump off backwards.
Perfect.
So essentially, yeah. Mala's going to be too—he's going to be too focused on me and turning, and then all of a sudden, Robin is there.
Perfect.
Space.
So part of what I'm hearing here is what you will be doing—you'll be creating an opportunity for Robin to just do without uncertainty, without a move. So
yeah.
Go ahead and unleash your powers, Kid Flash.
It is a six. Wait. Yes, because I have no freak, right? Yes. So it is a six.
Okay, can you help out, Robin?
Yeah, absolutely help with the team. Yeah, for sure. Was there some kind of bonus that we all got at the beginning of the fight?
You, in particular, get a plus one on your very first roll.
Okay, gotcha. All right, yeah, no, I'll spend a teamwork, because that pushes it to a seven, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Kid Flash is running past Mala, but it's kind of tight quarters and Mala has really long arms. And so he could almost grab Kid Flash, but I'm actually leaping off of, like, Wally into Mala's face and shoving, like, a smoke bomb into his mouth kind of a thing. And and then jumping off of him into over to where the computers are.
And that's perfect. So then this whole thing, which was about distracting Mala, keeping Mala off balance, keeping Mala unable to react coherently, that works perfectly. He's confused by Wally zipping past and a smoke bomb in his mouth that explodes and fills his face with smoke.
Nice.
That's excellent. And the only thing here is it is still a 7-9. So Wally, is it unstable or temporary, or do you want to mark a condition?
Dude.
I'll do unstable or temporary.
Oh.
Temporary Mala distraction's not good.
Excellent.
Or maybe it's great.
And I mean, I feel like that sort of builds itself. It fits in where at the moment what's going on, that move was enough to throw Mala off balance, but very quickly Mala is going to like swipe the smoke away, especially because off to the side, the brain starts shouting and is like, "They're in here, you fool! Get on top of them! The fast one is going around the room!" I never claimed I could do a French accent. So, Mala is swiping away at the smoke. The brain is rising up, that little canister holding the brain, like, floats a little bit, and you start seeing it open up. Little, like, arms holding laser blasters start poking out. As Robin, you are able to make your way over to the servers, and KF, you're past Mala and into the room. Mala, unable to focus on you right now. So I want to stick with this for just a moment longer. KF, what are you doing now?
So, given that I know they're probably going to shoot at me, I'm going to try and strategically place the shots that are missing. So while running around, essentially those things that Robin had mentioned getting undone would assist us. I'll try and like give brief pauses at those places to be shot at and then run away, hopefully hitting what I want behind me.
Nice.
Oh, that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Okay, cool. I'm still going to go with that as the because this is all about like your speed being perfectly placed to get them to shoot the wrong stuff. So this is unleash your powers. This is this crazy usage of your powers to do stuff. So go for it.
I only got a 5.
Oof.
Okay. I mean, and since it makes sense to me that at the same time the other three are readily preoccupied with the telepathic shenanigans, it probably can't get boosted to a 7. So go ahead and take potential as it's actually going fine, right? You zip yourself, you are in place, and then you move. And the brain fires a laser bolt, and it strikes the machine right behind you, which fritzes and starts smoking, and the brain curses, "Merd!" And then keeps shooting at you. Until, like, you try it one final time, and you zip off and run right into the paw of Mala, who had held that one hand waiting for you, and then just wraps those giant gorilla fingers around your upper body and starts, like, squeezing.
Oh. Not good.
So I'm not going to do something else. It's not take a powerful blow yet, but you are in Mala's hand and unable to move. Or at least your arms, your legs can move.
And I try to do my best Connor impression and say, "I hate monkeys." And then
you can cut. Yes.
And Robin, you raced over to the computers while that was going on. What are you doing to those computers?
So I'm
going
to try and hack everything so that they can't launch these no matter what happens. They can't easily launch these aqua matches anywhere effectively. I don't even know where we are. I mean, they could probably break out of the facility, but I don't want them to teleport anywhere.
So for you, since this is your hacking, which is one of your powers, this is the same thing. Unleash your powers. Do it.
Okay, and then what do I add to unleash powers?
Freak.
Okay, so I had a +1 against Mala, a +1 against the brain, and a +1 just for my first action for the thing. That right?
Yes.
Okay, so just a +1 yes. I'm going to have. Okay.
Yeah, right now. Yep.
So rolled a 10, +1 is 11. Nice. I just had to show them all on the screen. So
that's perfect. So this is all funny looking Robin faces popping up on your screen.
Fantastic.
Grinning and smiling as you hack the system, shut down. Basically, I think the most important thing you shut down is you have taken control of their Zeta tube capacity.
Perfect.
But also they can't open up the pods themselves. They can't launch them.
Great.
In the process, you do get a readout of this base as being in orbit. This is a space station.
Okay, good.
And they cannot open up the pods or get anyone off right now as you are plugged into their system.
I'm fairly sure that Connor could not survive a drop from orbit, right?
Well, we'll see.
I'm not sure 100%, but maybe. Okay, go ahead.
We haven't tested it yet.
And then we cut back to McGann, Connor, and Calder combining their minds to try to take over this system. So
McGann, and their hearts.
Their hearts. So cool. McGann, what does this look like? Or like, what is the... If we're showing this in our TV show, so what are we seeing?
So I am standing with the two of them, and I take Connor's hand, and I take Calder's hand, and I close my eyes. And I'm freaking out internally because this is a little bit terrifying after everything that's been going on lately. But I kind of, I focus in on their mental energy, their like mental frequency. I'm like so used to linking up with Connor. I know how to do this. I'm used to linking up with Calder. I'm just trying to calm myself down and focus in on this is familiar and this is safe. And then I kind of have like that mental landscape from like Bereft, where we have like that whole thing where it's all the memories and everything. It's mainly memories of Connor and Calder because they're the ones I'm interacting with right now. And I just kind of reach out with my mind to go down the hallway and see what that is and see if I can connect to it too.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love it. Okay, let's see if you can. I mean, I'm going to treat it as an unleash your powers because this is all about the craziness of your telepathy. And The unfortunate thing is you do still have Hopeless marked. So you are at a +2, -2.
Okay, so +2, -2. So those just cancel out. So it's 11.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
All right.
6 and a 5.
Whoa. Dang, nice.
So you, I mean, and Calder, Connor, you are on this psychic journey as well. You experience everything that's coming through this link as well. You reach down to the end of the corridor and connect with this mass of tiny little fragmented minds of like not quite full, not quite developed, broken shards of minds that are the match clones, that are the aqua matches. Like each one of them not all the way there. And they're sort of scattered and seeking any direction to latch onto, any strong emotion, any target. And as you sort of enter in, like your minds push forward and you can imagine these little floating fragments of light almost floating around you, sort of zooming in and centering on you, where a moment ago they had been centered on this other form in the middle of this psychic plane that they move away from. And as they do, they reveal that form sort of hunched over and weak and crying. And it's the form of a white Martian. And McGann, you would recognize this white Martian.
Oh.
Because I went and looked it up.
Yeah. Is it my dad?
No.
It's your brother.
Oh, it's my brother? Oh, yeah. That's bad, too.
Oh, man.
Which is why I thought it was perfect when you said your brother was safe when you looked him up.
That is so good.
This is clearly your white Martian brother. I mean, this is your only, as I recall correctly from reading into it, you have tons and tons of cousins. Most of them are green Martians because of your family, and your mother is green Martian, if I recall correctly. But you and your brother are white Martians. This is clearly him. And he's like sobbing and terrified and in pain. And as he sort of looks up on the psychic plane, he sees you, but you're not the you he's used to, right? You look like how you see yourself at this point, which I presume is Megan, essentially.
Yes.
And so he looks up and he's like, who are you?
I make the conscious decision to shift back into my white Martian form.
What?
But she's with the two people that care the least.
Yes.
Exactly.
McGann?
Yes, brother. How did this happen? What did they do to you? What?
You've been gone for so long. I just wanted to find you.
Ugh.
And they caught me. McGann, it hurts. It hurts, McGann. Can you make it stop?
My God. Oh.
I'm gonna exercise a little bit of, you know, GM authority and be like, this is you taking a powerful blow.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely.
I Darcy, am taking. I have to roll to take a powerful blow right now.
Me too. My, yeah. Okay. How do I do?
You should roll 2d6, and you're going to add the number of conditions you have marked.
This is
you want low. You want as low as possible.
So add the conditions, so that's...
Just the number of conditions.
Yep. That's a 12.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, this worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not stable.
Your options are on the basic moves sheet, but basically, on a 10+, you can take two options from the 7 and 9 list if you want. Those are lesser and probably a little bit less destructive. You can remove yourself from the situation, which is like run away or pass out or something. Or you can lose control of yourself or your powers.
Yes!
Oh, God, I don't want That's to the one. Know.
Oh my God.
Oh,
my
God,
heart is racing.
Is so
my
hard.
Palms are sweating right now.
Yeah.
Mine too. I'm just, oh God, because I don't want to. She's trying so hard not to, because she hurt Connor last time. She hurt a lot of people. She doesn't want to do that again. But this is her brother, and her brother's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This would, after everything that has happened today, and how emotional she is right now, I think she might lose control of her powers.
Yes.
Everyone's so excited for me to have an emotional breakdown.
Sorry. It's just so right.
So I'm interested in hearing from you, McGann. I will build off of what you tell me, what it looks like as you lose your powers, and I will make it worse. But why don't you tell me what you start doing, what actually starts happening?
So in her physical form, she is legitimately sobbing at this point. That's just her. She is angry. She is sad. She feels incredibly guilty that he came here for her, that this was never what she intended. And the psychic plane that she's kind of built, that's her and it's Connor and it's Calder and it's all of these memories, just starts shattering.
Yeah.
As she can't keep it together anymore. This isn't on purpose. She's not trying to do this, but everything is just breaking down.
And, I mean, Calder and Connor, you can feel that enormity of the pain. And I'm sure, like, you feel it on your own side as well, but you can feel it coming from McGann, too. And you can feel underneath it that building, rising, just current of power pouring up from inside as the psychic plane that you're in smashes and you sort of fall away from her. And that's what we see, right? The plane literally smashes, the ground that you're standing on starts cracking, and McGann is just floating there as Calder and Connor fall to either side. And inside the station, the pods all around McGann just start to crush.
Whoa.
And inside the main room, Mala's holding Wally and is like reared up a fist to punch him.
Oh.
And that's when all around him, the walls start to crunch and pieces of equipment start to rip apart and shards of glass are floating in the air. And it's like a telekinetic maelstrom is ripping through the room and just sending bits and pieces flying everywhere, ripping everything apart. Alarms start blaring throughout the station and the brain just goes, well, time to go. And it's going to zoom up to an escape pod at the ceiling of the room and pass into it. Mala quickly, similarly, tosses Wally to the side and is like running up the walls, you know, using handholds to climb up to the same escape pod as the two of them enter the escape pod at the top of the room as the place is crushing. And there's this moment where the telekinetic force breaches the glass cylinder at the center of the room. The frosted glass falls to the floor, revealing inside the form of White Martian, who's spread-eagled with wires penetrating all over his body, all over his spine, and into his brain, and all over, just suspended midair.
Robin's going to run up and start disconnecting stuff, just because I think he knows kind of what is okay to disconnect.
Excellent. Okay. I mean, I feel like the actual physical sight of him, too, would be enough to rock McGann from just the pure, utterly destructive fugue she was in. But the problem is the station is now damaged enough that it's actually starting to break apart. You can hear the warning start blaring, like, hull breach detected in Wing 4. the entire station's structural integrity is falling apart. It's only a matter of time before this place just disintegrates.
McGann collapses on the floor when she sees him.
Connor pulls himself together enough to catch her.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Robin yells, KF, help me now!
Yeah, so I'll zoom over there and then jump up and be able to unplug everything super fast. Because, well, of course I can.
There we go. Yeah.
Totally.
Of course you can. Because you're awesome.
And Calder, what do you do?
Do we have a way out of here?
That's what I was going to also suggest. I was going to say, Robin, now would probably be the time to turn the tube back on.
I presume you have a way to do that too, Calder.
Yeah, I was either going to do that or I was going to call for help from the Justice League, which is exactly what I didn't want to do before.
Oh yeah, they've clearly got something they can, a jet they can use to get over here. And also they've got that Superman guy. I hear he does it.
Green Lanterns, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
With that, you guys can figure it out from here. So I got to go. Okay, bye.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Neil.
Is everybody else okay on time for a few minutes just so we can wrap up?
Yeah, I've got a bit of time so we can wrap up, yeah.
I'm all good.
Okay. You know what? I want to keep it focused on the team. Like, you might call the Justice League and they're telling you that somebody's on the way, but yeah. I'm going to actually hit the comms to Zatanna and say, Zatanna, we need an out now! And keep it with the team being the focus of the action and have Zatanna, totally. You know, do that thing back in Atlantis and we all kind of, like, dive through the portal as we see, like, yeah. maybe the space station crumble and start to, like, fall into orbit and... you know, do that superheated thing. And
it's the kind of thing where, like, if we had more time, I would absolutely make you people roll lots of dice to see how that goes. But for the sake of this moment, absolutely, sure. Yeah. Like, Zatanna opens the portal. As the station is crumbling and falling through the atmosphere, you all are leaping out through the portal, carrying this damaged white Martian between you. And, yeah, you come through the other side back into underwater Atlantis. So immediately back into, like, needing face bubbles or whatever again. But mm-hmm. the portal closes behind you, the Zeta tube closes behind you as the station is destroyed. And of course, we see the tiny little escape pod firing out of the top.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Of course we do. So maybe we cut to a scene a little bit later. Like, we all, like, look at each other and take a breath and, like, collapse on the floor. And then we, like, cut to, you know, like, the next day or something like that. Is that okay?
Totally. Yeah. Okay. And so we're still in Atlantis, like, they put you up here, obviously, so you can rest and recuperate a little bit. And, yeah, you're in one of those nice, ornately appointed coral and opalescent material and beautiful guest chamber, essentially, where there's air for all of you.
Mm-hmm. Connor hasn't slept, he's just been next to McGann's bed, where I assume she's recuperating after her ordeal.
Yeah, not really doing too well. Kind of shaken up about everything.
While you guys are doing that, I'm actually going to walk up to Calder. Where are you, Calder?
Are we all in the same spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're all in the same room, and I imagine you're just in different places. Like, McGann is lying on a bed or a couch. Connor is with her. The two of you might be looking out a window, but you're in the same room.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking out a window, and I'm flipping the Aquaman symbol, you know, in my hand, nice. Or that metallic bit.
I walk up next to Calder. You know, Batman asked me to keep an eye on you.
Calder grimaces.
I remember a time not too long ago where I was a little bit jealous of how much he trusted you. I'm telling you this not to make it uncomfortable for you. I'm telling you that we're worried. I get why Connor did what he did. I don't like it, and I'll talk to him about it. But I don't get why you didn't trust us.
It's not a personal thing. It has to do with my place here. You've had Batman, you've had Bat-Fam, you have a community that you know your place within. Of course, secretly not knowing all the struggles that Robin goes through himself. But right. You're so firm in your identity, and yet I feel that I've been trying to fill a space that was never made for me, and I think I will need time to explore that on my own, although I think there are likely healthier ways to be doing that in the future. I don't think you or Batman are going to be any help in that endeavor, although I won't hesitate to call you when I think you will be. I won't push you out, but you have to let me do this myself.
Robin nods. He says, I get it. Calder, if you need to take a break. He turns around for the first time, like, in this whole episode and looks you straight in the eye.
Mm.
And he says, if you need to take a break, I'm ready. And then the next thing he says is, as you know, Superman used to tell me this story about two heroes from Krypton, Firebird and Nightwing. And then it kind of fades. That conversation kind of fades away.
Perfect. Perfect.
While that's happening in the background, McGann's just leaning on Connor and out loud doesn't even try to establish a mental link because she's so shaken up, just says, I'm sorry. Just leaning on his shoulder, just says, I'm sorry.
Oof.
And he looks down and he says, no, I'm sorry. You know, you wouldn't have been in this position if I had shown more trust in you. I shouldn't have gone off on our own. It was wrong. I made a mistake. And then Connor looks over at Calder and Robin talking. And then he looks at McGann and says, I envy them because they know who they are and they know who they're going to be.
Yes.
Even if I wanted to be, I can't be Superman. But Aqualad is going to be Aquaman and Robin is going to be Batman.
You don't have to be Superman. You never had to be Superman. You're you. That's all that matters.
And Connor looks down at her and he says very purposefully, and I know you, and I'm glad that you are you.
I'm glad that you're you too.
And that's when Wally comes in with pizzas.
Yeah.
He's like, all they had were anchovies.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Is it gauche to have anchovy pizzas in Atlantis?
But one of the last scenes is definitely Robin, like, putting his hand out and shaking Connor's hand. And, like, just that as they fade out, kind of that implication that things are better kind of a thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
While Wally's stuffing his face.
Oh, yeah.
That is an awesome ending. And the one final thing I want to do, because it is part of Masks, and it's sort of this nice, like, closer for us as players, there is an end-of-session move that we go through, and this is just to wrap things up and to sort of say something especially pointed at next week. So, I want to go through everybody, and I want to ask you, did you choose one of these three, grow closer to the team? Did you grow into your own image of yourself? Or did you grow away from the team? So, starting with you, Calder, did you grow closer to the team, into your own image of yourself, or away from the team?
I grew closer to Robin. I think that especially with the story of Nightwing at the end, kind of dealing with this identity question and sort of navigating our two roles as potential leaders of the team. I think Robin sort of kept me stable this session. So I'm going to give influence to Robin.
That's perfect. And then you in turn would get to clear condition or mark potential.
Cool.
And to say it, we don't have to worry about it right now, but if Robin did have influence over you already, what would happen is Robin gets to shift your labels immediately.
Oh, interesting.
So Robin would get to say, superior up, mundane down, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay. What about you, McGann?
I think that McGann has grown a little bit more into her image of herself, in that she's coming to terms more with what her powers can do and what she doesn't want them to do. And what she's learning her limits and learning how easy it is to go past what she thought were her limits and how much she doesn't exactly want to do that. But I'm looking at everything, trying to figure out what that means, because that would mean one of my stats shifts up, one of them shifts down.
Yep.
I think that would mean her freak would go up by one, and someone who knows more about what all of these mean, tell me what I'm doing.
If she's thinking partially about, like, how she has a better understanding of her powers and what she wants her powers to do, and she's thinking of herself in terms of her powers,
yes.
Then how she's not thinking of herself is as a person with emotions and feelings who connects with other people. So mundane down would make a lot of sense.
Okay, cool. We'll go with that then. We'll say that's how this goes.
Not least because that puts you at freak 3 and mundane -2, and that's just a fun
combo. Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's cool.
So bad at talking to anyone who isn't my boyfriend, apparently.
Yep. All right. Connor, what would you choose?
Connor has grown closer to the team because this adventure has made it so apparent that he is, even if he doesn't want to be, he's not alone in the weird things that have happened to him. He's not the only clone. He's not the only half-Kryptonian clone. He's not the only one who's worried about losing control. There's too many other similarities now between him and like other members of the team. He can't ignore that. Mm-hmm. So definitely closer. And then influence goes to McGann because Connor absolutely understands what it's like to feel like a weapon or something that can only destroy.
And so then in the same note, you would get to mark potential a clear condition, and McGann, who already has influence over you, would shift one of Connor's labels up and one down. And again, we don't have to worry about that if we want to keep moving forward for time.
Give me more danger.
Just raise it to the roof. What about you, Robin? What would you pick?
He definitely became closer to the team, but I think he had been moving away from the team, and so now he's, like, back to normal. He's, like, back to ground zero more than anything else. But what he really, really did was find out more about himself.
Yeah.
In this accepting and understanding of heroism and knowing that he's not Batman, like, understanding that he doesn't have to not be who he was. Like, whether Batman intended him to be a particular way or not is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. He is who he is, and who he is good. And having kind of taken over that leader role and having it be relatively successful, he's feeling ready now. But to do that, he can't be Robin leading the team. He has to be who he wants to be to do it. And he never could take over the leader role because he kept feeling like he was still going to be, there was going to be Batman, then Robin, and then the team. And Batman would be leading him, and he would be leading the team, and that's, like, you can't lead that way. Mm-hmm. So he separated himself out, but now he's found this identity with this story that Superman used to tell him about Krypton, and taking this mantle for his own.
That's perfect.
Understanding that stepping away from the team is not him. He was heartbroken with Connor. He was heartbroken with McGann. He was heartbroken with Calder. With all the things that happened in this, and he realizes that I don't lead like Batman does. I would lead differently, and that's okay.
So cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love this game so much.
Yeah, Ooh. Thank you.
That was awesome. Thank you all.
So, Brendan, thank you so much for joining us. To wrap up the game a little bit, can you tell people where they can find you online and where they can find masks for themselves?
Absolutely. So I produced masks for our company, Magpie Games. And if you go to magpiegames.com, we have all our other games. We have masks. That's where you can find the free downloadable playbooks that you need to play, the free downloadable basic moves, which are the basic rules. And we sell physical hard copies of the book from there. And if you want a PDF copy of the book, you can find that at drivethroughrpg.com. Just search for masks or masks, a new generation, in case you need the extra subtitle to find it.
Perfect. Darcy, where can people find you out in the world, out in Earth Prime?
Down in Atlantis. So I can be findable most places at Darcy L. Ross, DarcyLRoss, where you'll find me tweeting about weird critters and RPGs. That's the main place, I would say.
Awesome. And Emily?
People can find me on Twitter at Emily of Arden, E-M-I-L-Y of A-R-D-E-N. So you can check me out there, where I have a lot of feelings about fictional characters and everything else that I do in my life.
Yes. And by the time this airs, we will have announced that Emily is my new co-host for the second season of Whelmed, The Young Justice Files. Woo.
Allowed to say it. Wasn't sure if I was allowed to say it. Wasn't sure if it was still secret.
We welcome Emily, and we're excited to have her for season two of Whelmed. Ishan, where can people can track you down and your strong opinions about life?
You can hear me weekly on Total Party Thrill. That's TotalPartyThrillCast.com, or on Twitter, Evil Sans Carne. That's malice minus meat.
Outstanding. And thank everyone for joining us for this actual play. If you would like to get more actual plays, or maybe even a continuation of this particular game or games like it, please let us know, both on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr now, thanks to Emily. You can find us on Facebook, and also by supporting us through our Patreon at www.patreon.com/crashingthemode. You can give some donations there, get a free copy of Masks for yourself, thanks to the generous donations of Magpie Games, and be able to play these characters yourselves and support us in getting some more actual plays out in the universe. And as always, I'm going to have everybody say this. Everybody say stay whelmed, everyone. Okay, ready? And as always,
Stay whelmed, everyone.
Stay whelmed, everybody.
Close.
Perfect. That was perfect.
Thanks so much. Take care, guys.
Conclude Mask's actual play. Story arc title, Relations.
You've been listening to Whelmed, the Young Justice Files podcast. Our hosts are Rich Howard and Emily Buza. Our editor and producer is Neil Powell. Our theme was composed by Emily Mio. Our logo was created by Kevin Bates. Whelmed is a fan-made podcast and is not officially affiliated with DC Comics, DC Entertainment, Warner Brothers Animation, and any other owners of Young Justice or its related source material. As such, these companies have sole ownership of all symbols, images, names, logos, and proprietary material related to Young Justice. Original content of this podcast is ours under Creative Commons. Thanks for listening, and stay whelmed.